Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to the Phantom Zone podcast, your one-stop shop for all things nerdy. If you like what you hear today, you can listen to our other episodes on a whole range of nerdy subjects on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. And today, I'm your host, Ian Lunny, and we are going into the depths of spooky films for this month of Spooktober. So you can join us on our podcast page on Spotify. You'll find us the Phantom Zone. We are going to be doing an episode each week of this month for all things spooky, spooky comic books, spooky films. But today we are brought to you by UK Film, which we're very happy that they have invited us along on their journey for this thus far. We haven't been cancelled yet, so we're doing well. So I'm joined today with Toby and Simone. Give us a hello.
Hello.
We're both on the same page.
That was fantastic. And we are going to be doing a review of a recent release on Disney Plus. I don't think it had a theatrical release, but we can find out. I don't think it did. Called No One Can Save You. Or No One Will Save You. No One Will Save You.
We should be sure on the title.
It's what a film. No One Will Save You is some of the words in the title.
Put them in an order and you will have the title of this film. No One Will Save You is the title of this film. It's by Brian Duffield, who has done some directing, not too much. So this is early in his career. He's done a lot of writing, which is kind of cool. So we are reviewing his film, No One Will Save You. So let's jump in. We got no nerd news today. We're going to go straight in. Toby, your thoughts. Let's start with you. What did you think? A brief summary of your thoughts on the film. No plot, just a brief summary, and we'll get into spoilers in a minute.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed it. I felt that it's hard not to go straight into the spoilers because I really want to talk about
the topics. I'm telling you to not.
Mutiny. But I enjoyed it for what it was. I think it kind of hindered itself by some of its style. Mm-hmm. I.e. sort of the no talking, because there was little to no dialogue throughout the whole film.
Yeah, very little. I would say no conversational dialogue.
Yeah, and I feel like that was kind of detrimental in certain points. I also kind of... I liked the premise. I liked some of the ideas. I just felt like it maybe overstayed its welcome, and I think it probably would have been better as a short opposed to a feature length. But
you were asking it to leave by halfway through the
film. I was like, someone might save me at this point because I don't want to watch more.
Okay.
my scathing movie.
Jesus. Simone, what was your thoughts on it before we get into spoilers?
I think it's broadly good. No, sorry, broadly fine.
Cool.
She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about.
That's a quick change. It's good. Actually, I hated it. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
But so it's broadly fine. You do that again?
No, we're keeping that in.
I thought it was broadly fine. I think the ending was broadly good. I really liked the ending. It was dark. And I like a good... Don't give the audience a happy ending, you know.
Christ.
I thought the tension in the film was good. The acting was also fairly good.
Okay.
So yeah, I do you know what, I wasn't bored, I don't think, at any point watching it, and it did scare me, but then again I'm a bit of a weakling, so
Christ. Well, I was gonna ask,
quite low there.
The bar's low. I was gonna ask, you found the atmosphere good in it though, because we were watching it together. What was your like impression of the atmosphere?
I mean, yeah, I thought it was they built tension really well. Mm. Like, it was very unsettling, and I think the depiction of the aliens was also incredibly creepy. Terrible. Ooh. CGI, but yeah, you know.
Okay, well, let's get into the spoiler / plot. So the loose plot, you know, if you're still listening, you know, good on you, but the loose plot is that, you know, we have our main character. Does she even have a name? I don't feel like she's given a name. Yeah, in this, because nobody talks.
Bryn Adams.
Well picked up. Yeah, I've just gone to Wikipedia. I should have started there in the first place. So Bryn Adams lives in a remote American town, or we assume it's American. It could be Canadian, where she lives alone in the woods, I would say, away from the town itself, where she starts to be attacked by extraterrestrials, UFOs. We find out that in the town itself, people are very hostile to her. They don't want to speak to her, hence what Toby was describing earlier, that there's very little dialogue in this film and no conversational dialogue. And then it's essentially a home invasion film, but with aliens. The end of the film, though, which is interesting, I guess we'll jump straight ahead to the end of the film, because Simone, you've mentioned it. The end of the film, I actually thought was really strange. I feel like that was the bit that kind of ruined it just really didn't sit well for me when watching it. So I agree that the tension was really good and the atmosphere was really good for getting the low budget alien special effects, and I think the acting actually was very good, but the ending kind of was very strange. Simone, could you expand a bit on why you liked the ending, and then Toby, we can hear why you probably hated it.
I mean, I just feel like there were so many other parts of the film that, whilst being quite scary, were actually quite unsettling, and I thought were fairly good. The ending, I really liked that it kind of like takes this bizarre left turn. We're just going straight into spoilers, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah. Okay, what we'll say is, okay, because that was a terrible description of the film's plot from me there. The reason why the townspeople don't like her is because she straight up murdered her friend as a child. Like, she straight up, like, murdered...
In cold blood, yeah.
In cold blood, her friend from her childhood, a childhood friend who, throughout the film, she's been writing little confessional letters to her, being like, I miss you, etc. And we see her stalking her dead friend's family as well, which is kind of weird. And then we find out at the end that she murdered her friend as a child, and the entire town really hate her because of that. Why we find this out is that the aliens, after essentially harassing her for about 2 days, finally bring her up in their spaceship, and they perform, like, I guess, a mental probing. I was going to say a scan of her brain, but we can use your term. We can say
a mental probing,
where they see her memories of her killing her friend, and then they sort of like chat to each other, and then they're kind of like, well, we're going to put her in a town where we control everybody, I guess. And
apart from
what
her.
Happened at the end, Toby, clarify for us what the hell that was.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's you kind of get the gist that it was heat of the moment incident where
she killed her in cold blood.
Straight up grabs a rock and bludgeons her mate over the over the temple. And I thought, I kind of got the gist that maybe she'd sort of wrongfully, I don't know, like a car accident, or it was one of the cliche things where we were in a river or a pond or something. I looked away and she died. And then maybe they thought, because it was sort of mysterious, that she had something to do with it. Maybe it was ambiguous, or maybe even that the aliens had abducted her friend first and that then they were blaming
Brynn. Oh, that would have been good.
Maybe I was just reading too many things into it, but it ultimately sort of boiled down to, kind of like you said, they had a mind probe.
And a mind probe.
After they Netflixed and chilled over the mind probe, they kind of had a little discussion and just thought to themselves, oh, bang on you, mate. You know, that seemed like a great idea. You knock your friend about the head and we'll give you a whole town unto yourself with our little sort of insect throat servant slave things.
It's very weird.
It was very odd, and it didn't, for me, I kind of liked the aesthetic to it because it felt very Stepford Wives at the end there.
Yeah, it did.
And I did like that aesthetic to it, but I just, for me, it didn't quite click. I felt like the film overall had a lot of fun ideas. And it's that, for me anyway, I thought the overall sort of issue was, it's the sort of the classic trope of horror films in general, is the threat of the unknown is far more tangible and scary than as soon as you get the reveal.
Yeah.
Because as soon as she killed the first alien by accident with, was it scissors or a pencil or a pen?
It was a bit of a
prop thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, she has a little like
miniature town.
Yeah.
Which I think she has because she's sad. And
I think it was something that her and her mum had put together.
She's sad.
The mind probing stuff.
The good probing. She stabs the alien with a part of the town. I think the bell tower, I think.
Yeah, something akin to that, yeah.
That she had just bought. Which also, that delivery driver just like throwing the box at her.
That was the most realistic thing in the whole.
That was.
So real.
Amazon driver, FedEx driver, they will just throw or kick your boxes like, there, your delivery's here.
Definitely with every.
Don't get me started.
Drop, kick it through the front door.
I bought a limited edition Avengers poster to match, like when you could go see it in IMAX, they released two for Endgame, and I had one half of the poster. I bought the other half, and the every driver had like brushed it through our door, and it was in a tube that the guy who I bought it from clearly put a lot of effort into making sure it was okay, and they just, like, it looked like he had just smashed it on his knee, and I was just like, you piece of this film, let's moan about every but no, the bit I didn't get though was when she opened the box and the bloody town was still in one piece. The clock tower, I was like,
with, like, the tiniest piece of bubble wrap around it. Yeah. Like, like absolute lies.
I just showed you the bubble wrap and it's protected you.
Yeah. Having just told you the story about my bloody poster, there's no way that that would have been in one piece. There's no way.
No.
Anyway. Yeah, no, she kills that alien with a part of the town. So carry on.
And I feel after she sort of killed that first alien, I kind of felt like the fear factor had gone. Because I agree with Simone and yourself to a degree. I don't know if you agreed. But there was a really sort of good sense of tension to start.
No,
with.
I agreed.
And I like the little sort of legs sort of scuttling around and the bit under the bed.
That was very good, wasn't it?
When it went up on its little toes.
Yeah, the extra leg toes.
Because you hadn't seen it in focus at that point.
No.
Mm. Yeah.
They did a lot of the sort of the a little bit like, I think it was a lot of different horror films because it had vibes of Signs. It had fire.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers as well.
Yeah, and it was exactly that. And there were lots of good quality to it, and I think it just was one of those things where if they maybe trimmed a couple of the ideas down, it might have tightened it up a bit. And I feel, because it was an hour and a half, maybe just a touch over.
93 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a 60-minute short would have probably been a lot tighter. Mm-hmm, because, I mean, you didn't have to sort of give breath for dialogue because it was all silent. And I think that particularly sort of the middle portion of the film, it kind of lost its momentum and tried to chuck in too many sci-fi tropes and too many horror tropes. And I felt like it didn't quite know whether or not it wanted to be a sci-fi
or a horror.
Because the body snatcher stuff was quite fun. But then the big sort of Cloverfield variation of the alien was a...
Well, I was just about to ask Simone about that, because Simone doesn't like, you don't like spider looking things. And there was the big one. But I remember us both distinctly laughing at that moment. Because we felt it was doing the YMCA.
It was definitely doing the YMCA. I was like, because it, like, he comes out of like the shadows and then is like moving his arms at her. And I'm like, he wants her to dance. Like, he's trying to communicate. Let's this is dance. Clearly non-threatening. You know, he's like, come on. I saw this on, you know, Interstellar TV. YMCA, huge in the Milky
Big
Way.
Track,
let's go for it.
Big track. Did you find though, Sim, that the kind of like one of your favorite films that we might be discussing in the future in this month of Spooktober, one of your favorite films is Alien.
Mm.
Brilliant film. Did you find that, you know, something I thought about at the time was that we saw basically after that alien was killed, as Toby's saying, from that point onwards, we just constantly see the aliens all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And do you find, Sim, I guess, as a fan of, I guess, sci-fi horror films, did you find that was detracting to the film? Or were you okay with seeing them all the time?
No, I feel like less is more.
Yeah.
Definitely less is more. I think, I mean, I haven't watched it since I was 12, but Signs, one of the things I remember about Signs was...
Do you both like that film?
We watched it. They showed it to us in year 7. Definitely shouldn't have. They locked us all in the school hall.
They put it on
a massive projector. All the teachers pissed off. And we were screaming. It was fantastic. But I mean,
that sounds like a good experience.
It was fantastic. That sounds scarring. That sounds like the worst. The teacher in your school was like, "Yeah, let's go down the pub."
I genuinely think they did. Like, I genuinely like locked the doors. They locked us in there.
Anyway, carry on. Yeah, sorry. With Signs,
I remember with Signs, it was like, it was only like the occasional leg, and you slowly but surely they started seeing more and more, and then you had like the camera footage of the aliens at like a garden party, but it was just like a split second. And the less is more approach is definitely more terrifying, because by the time you see them at the end, it's less scary. But even then, like, they're not even really being a threat right at the end. They're kind of helping, that they help the little boy. So like, I think you shouldn't just go straight in with like, oh, here it is.
There it is.
You know, like when it was
by water,
just ridiculous.
That's the reason I don't like that film.
You know the bit where she's in the kitchen and it like closes the fridge door, and then
climbing over. Yeah, that was very good.
And it's like it shouldn't have just like peeked out. It shouldn't have just like come out. It should have just like had a little look.
I'm gone.
And then maybe there's a little peek. Yeah, you know, I feel like something like that. But yeah,
I just came
like...
to eat your yogurt.
Yeah, just a less is more approach is definitely.
Yeah, I think I agree, and I think that's why I asked it, because I found the little one like very funny. I found the little scurrying one that she threw the hot water at like really amusing.
You could just imagine going.
Yeah,
you were making those noises.
Yeah, we go.
Plus those big old gangly arms, they don't seem convenient for its makeshift body.
Well, I imagine them in the spaceship being like, could you pass me that? And it's like reaches far over. I feel like he'd be the best to have a party or something.
Yeah. That was the other thing, because I kind of didn't over them. It was a frustrating film, because I just enjoyed so many bits of it, but there were so many other bits that just kind of posed more questions. Like, I've got more questions now than I had at the beginning. Like the consistency between the aliens, because they all changed.
Just about to ask you this, Toby. What did you think of the design? As a big sci-fi fan, what did you think of the design of the aliens?
I liked it, and I could really clearly see sort of the influences in a lot of the designs. Like the big spindly spider one, you could sort of see Cloverfield-esque. Mm-hmm. Then they had like the classic grey alien design.
From Roswell, overall. Yeah. Classic Roswell homage.
But then they had the little amoeba aliens that, I thought they were then going to sort of pull a fast one and say that these were the actual invading threat. And the gray aliens and the other sort of species-esque aliens, they were all part of the same pod mentality. These little amoebas had been controlling everybody.
Mm.
But then sort of the final scene where they probe her mind,
you get mind just probing.
The gray aliens are sort of in charge. So I was like, yeah. I don't quite who was pulling the strings. Were they pulling the strings? Were the amoeba things something that came from the gray aliens? I was just a bit confused
also, I guess
by that.
The big spindly one.
I think that's more of like an attack dog, no? It's like
Well, this is what I was going to ask.
Because it was dumb.
Gather them up.
Wasn't that smart, was it?
No.
Well, it was too busy. It was too busy trying to put YMCA on. It was just trying to get to the radio. It wanted some bangers. And it's like, she was just getting the wrong end of the stick. And he was just like, I just want to listen to some great tunes.
Do you mind if I touch your car radio? Some people get funny about that. I'm sorry.
It's on the stay at the YMCA. But it seemed to me like, so that little weird one going meh was like, I thought that was going to be like a proto alien. But then when we saw the big one, I was like, so what is the evolutionary? Not that I'm like, I need to know the evolutionary like cycle of this species, but that giant spindly one appears to be like their ultimate form. And I would have been like, well, that thing can kill everybody. So why aren't they all looking like that? Whereas the weird gray ones on the ship, I was like, so why would you ever send one of those down? I didn't understand it.
Particularly when each of those variations on the classic gray was significantly underpowered, because Christ, that had telekinesis. Telekinesis,
yeah,
Kyle.
Did.
It
yeah.
just it completely trumped everything, because as soon as she went for it with the scissors,
yeah,
pencil,
it clicked
whatever,
its fingers, didn't it?
It just was like, yep, yeet, get out of here.
yeet, straight out the window.
Yeah. And immediately sort of the dynamic changed, and then it continued with sort of the big spindly one, and it was immediately, because where did the telekinetic alien go again? It was
busy eating the yogurt.
Getting
some yogurt. I feel like one of the elements of it that worked, and we kind of you spoke about it before, Toby, I think it did clearly, you know, however you pronounce his last Duffman. Clearly he likes sci-fi and horror, and there's a lot of homages here, which I did appreciate, but I felt maybe there was too many in this film.
Yeah,
like there 100%. Was too, if he had just focused on maybe one element of homage and then done his own thing or did his own thing, I would have maybe felt a bit more like attached to it. But because it was a lot of like, do you remember Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Well, here's a bit of that. Do you remember Alien? Well, here's a bit of that. Do you remember Signs? Well, here's that too.
Yeah.
And I liked that it was like, I think the her performance, the lead actress,
Caitlin Dever,
she's very good in this. Yeah. I thought she carries the film. She does an amazing job. And I actually think the twist where we find out that she just wrecked her friend and killed her was like quite good. But I would have, I found it that when they became like, well, we're going to possess the town and give you a happy life because you messed up your friend.
Yeah, you like, clocked her good with that rock.
Yeah. And it's like, I really didn't get what it was like when she was floating after the mind probe. It was like they were arguing, like, well, this, did you see that? I don't want to get hit in the head like that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that was form, especially considering, like, she'd killed, like, at least one or definitely two.
No,
yeah,
she killed three of them.
Yeah,
three
yeah,
of them.
Yeah,
she killed the little man, and then
she lanced him, and then kiboshed him again on the head.
And she hit the door. She hit the other one in the head with the town as well. Man, she's got a thing for hitting people in the head.
I mean, they did mess her up a fair amount, you know, like it wasn't just her messing that. She got knocked out multiple times.
True.
Like she got knocked out a lot. Like, but I think for me, the ending, it's the implication that
It's the implication.
All right. All right, I like that it's like the morality of these aliens is completely skewed, and that
but she I don't has get what their mission
is that what you read into it then? It was like their ambiguous or skewed.
Well, like they're clearly like, yeah, they're going around and they're like, I don't know what, if it's in these little probes, if it's like what the probe, like what do these little
amoebas?
What, I don't even know what they look like. At that, are you fruit. Talking what, they
the fruit?
Like little,
yeah.
Lychees. They look like little lychees.
The lychees.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
But that's ruined lychee for me.
But like, yeah, the little lychee thing. I don't know whether that's like part of their people
production cycle.
Like, is it like, yeah, is it like they get to live that life? I don't know. But
well, I don't think we're meant to know. Well,
yeah, because that was my biggest question. Like, were they running the show, or was it the Greys, as they say?
Well, the Grey men. The bigger ones,
yeah, like the
in the flying saucers at the end,
grey aliens, yeah, because
that's the other thing. There's like 40 or 50 flying saucers at the end as well.
Well, yeah, I think it's the implication is that they're still there. So I thought that, like, I don't know. I like that it was like morally skewed. It's like she's had a terrible life.
Yeah, because she murdered someone.
Yeah, she should have got along with the rest of them, but like she. I like that they were like, oh, we're going to try give her, like, she's been through too much. We're not going to do this to her.
Oh,
also, like, her memories are so messed up. Like, what happy life? What could she even have a happy life?
Yeah.
Like, in her memories, you know? And I like that there was, like, this ambiguity to the, like, the morality of it.
Or is it that they respect a fellow killer?
could be.
It could be.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
They were like
serial killers, rock beating friend killers.
Yeah.
They all get their own little town where they get to sort of Stepford Wives it up with the rest of the village.
And the aliens are like, this person's a true killer. Like, we respect that.
We respect that.
Maybe also like the ending of it, that they were creating their own sort of TV show, so they were just kind of watching it afterwards. That's why they were still there, like watching.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
watching the possessed people sort of just live out random,
like interdimensional cable.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. No, true. Maybe
this is where it just felt like it was. It felt like it was one of those YouTube shorts that would have been great as a short, and then they were just like, let's give it a 1 hour. 30 runtime on Hulu and Disney Plus.
It did have a theatrical release, just FYI.
Oh, it did?
It did. I was looking it up. It was premiered in New York and Los Angeles in theaters on September 19th this year. No, last year. No, this year. This year, sorry.
It's good.
Where are we? Consistent. So it did have a theatrical release, but then it almost immediately went straight to Disney Plus and Hulu. So it was like maybe released for a week or so and then went straight onto streaming.
There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, because one of my
last year was
Prey, and that went straight to Hulu.
And that's great. Yeah. It's really enjoyable. I do think this is fun. Well, we had a good time watching it.
We did. I think we did. It's an enjoyable watch.
I think Simone would be right. I'd give it the broadly fine. I have more criticisms than positives, but I enjoyed enough of it to maintain watching it.
Yeah, I just think the end for me spoiled it. I think I would have liked it. I would have found it more interesting that if it perhaps turned out that there were no aliens and that these were like things that were in her head over the guilt of her murdering her friend. And then like the town still hate her. Or even the town don't hate her. Maybe she's just like imagined all of that too.
She's projecting it.
Yeah. Like, that would have been more interesting. But then when it turned out the aliens were like, we respect a murderer. Yeah. We respect that. I just was a bit like, I don't understand. Yeah,
what was the message?
Exactly. See, I don't know what it's trying to say.
I disagree that it's like, that they respect her. I don't think it's that.
You think they're punishing her?
I think that, like...
Because she seemed pretty happy at the end when she was looking at us, smiling away, which I was like, that was like, weird. That was a weird fourth wall break.
They showed us a brief bit of like what happens when the lychee goes down your throat, right? And she goes into like this dream world. And like, is it that Maud's... No, her mum's still alive.
It's her mum, like, but then Maud's there too.
Maud's also still alive. And like, I don't think... she would accept that world. Like, that's not like something that could be a happy reality for her. And I think
the trauma would sort of bring her out of the trance.
Yeah. And so I think they were just like, nah, like, just leave her to her own devices. She's
but they're not they're making her dance around with well, the no, people.
I think she's
town.
They're not making her do anything. I think that's just her, because she's like, I mean, a bit wild. I would have gotten out of there like straight away.
But they were doing her gardening as well, and she seemed pretty happy there.
Yeah, she was. I think she's not like
the aliens wanted to do some gardening.
But it doesn't seem like she's. She seems pretty happy in this world, right?
She seems pretty happy. Yeah,
it doesn't come off as a good person. Like, I don't know. Like, would you be happy there? I don't think I would. I'd be freaked out.
But then maybe she is, because she has that little village that she built, and now the town is like that village. Yeah. She can play with the town like toys.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know. I didn't like the end. I like it's messed up. It poses some very questionable questions about.
It's very Black Mirror-esque, and I think this could have just been a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think a lot of the ideas were interesting. And I think if we just spent maybe less time with multiple different ideas, sort of underdeveloping any of them, I think we just would have had a... Yeah, I just think keeping it shorter, cutting out some of the ideas, we would have had a far sort of more solid foundation of a good short. But I just think there was too many in too long a period. And I think it didn't coalesce into a cohesive ending. I liked the premise of the ending. But I didn't like the journey to get there. And I don't feel like what we were delivered as a plot got us to a finite conclusion on what that was. But then at the same time, they may have been looking for that more ambiguous ending. So you can sort of interpret it the way you want.
I feel like it's like, you know, when you've got like a slice of bread, right? And you've got like, you've just toasted it, it's come out of the toaster, and then you open your Nutella jar or peanut butter jar, and you look inside, and there's just a small amount left in there. So you have to like really scrape it and then like spread it across the bread. But it's not, if you had less bread or more filling, it would be better. But because it's been spread very thin, if it was a smaller piece of bread, it would be far better. And like, I feel like that's like a good allegory for this film. I know you guys are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? But I feel like it's spread way too thin.
Sounds like you need to go shopping.
I actually do. I'm almost out of peanut butter.
Get yourself more peanut butter and Nutella.
This is actually what I'm like in my where this has come from. I'm thinking, well, I need to get some bloody peanut butter.
I definitely need to get myself a jar of peanut butter. I definitely need to get myself a jar of peanut butter.
Bloody
or peanut butter. You know, if you've got both, combine it. Then you know, you sandwich sword, peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah, sauce. Peanut butter and Nutella. Bosh. Yeah, or peanut butter and jam.
Yeah,
there you
peanut
go.
Jelly time.
Yeah, it's the best. I love that in my overnight oats. It's really good.
Well, how have we veered off into peanut butter?
Because we are the tangent kings and queens.
Yeah, we're definitely the best at that. I feel like when we've been on any other podcast, they've realized that we just kind of randomly go off into tangents. But my point being is that if it was a smaller film, it would have been better. I agree with you, Toby. Or if it was an hour and a half but had more in it, because realistically, we've spoken about this film for about half an hour to 40 minutes now, and there's not much more in it. Like, it's just an invasion film which has very odd alien designs, one that's really into the music of the 70s, and then the end. And it's kind of, and it's like, right, well, that's not much else to say, really, which is a shame.
Did we each have a standout scene? Was there a particular scene that did stand out for us that sort of highlighted what we did like and what we didn't like?
Yes.
I liked the YMCA.
That's also up there for me as well. Yeah. He's just dancing at her. Yeah. She looks so petrified, and I'm like, just dance back.
Just dance back. He clearly wants a dance battle. That's what this is all about. Like,
the fate of Earth comes down to this moment, and you're giving me nothing.
Look, did you not watch Guardians of the Galaxy? It comes down to a dance battle every time. That's what it all comes down to. No, that's a good question. Sim, what was your favorite moment and least favorite moment?
Most favorite moment. Oh, there's two. There's the one where...
Well, I only wanted one, so...
Well, you get into. So there was the one where I think she walks, like, by the front door and that light hits her and she just goes, blam!
What? What is that scene?
She gets knocked out to the floor. Is that the right one? Am I thinking?
When she goes to the ceiling, when she's in the room and then that's the second one.
And she's up. Yeah. And then it walks. And, like, you can see just, like, was it a close up on her eye or her face? And you can see the alien slowly coming into her peripheral vision.
Yeah, that was really good.
Like, I was like, top tier.
I also liked when that happened and they kept like lowering her and bringing her up and lowering her and bringing her up. And I had the idea that on the ship, one of them was like, Gary, will you just stop doing that? All right?
Like grabbing the car. Like,
I've told you 3 times to stop doing it. All right. This is not funny. And he's like, oh, come on. What was the second moment?
When she got knocked out.
Oh, okay. All right.
She gets like knocked over to the floor.
Least favorite moment? Least favorite moment?
Least favorite moment.
I mean, to be fair, Sim, out of the three of us, the bus, out of the three of us, even though you said this was broadly fine, you sound like you actually enjoyed this film.
No, yeah. I enjoyed it, but like you can enjoy things and still not think they're very good, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I would stand with that because that's kind of the fence I'm on. You know, I did enjoy.
Well, get off it. Hop down.
Nah, I want to sit right on the fence.
Right on it.
Right on the shelf.
Toby on the fence.
Yeah.
What were your favorite and least favorite moments? The bus scene, I agree, Sim, isn't very great.
Yeah, it's I thought the bus scene was a bit messy, and it at that point, not everybody else had been amoebified or lychified, and they were just like, "Oh, this dude is just crawling on this on the meth's a hell of a drug. What the hell are they doing?" But I think one of my favorite scenes, if it wasn't for the initial home invasion section where you don't see the alien to start with, and she's going around the house trying to escape. Because I thought I liked the bit where she's upstairs and she first hears the alien enter the house, and she goes to the top of the stairs to sort of watch what's happening, and then she steps on the floorboard. Of course, she steps on the floorboard, and it creaks. Classic. And then the alien starts dashing around the house. I didn't quite understand why removing the slippers would prevent the floorboard from further creaking, but you know, there must be some seriously weighty slippers.
Lead slippers.
Yeah. she's got the calves of a running back. She's just super hench. I thought that was good. I did enjoy that, but I think probably one of my favorite scenes was despite the bus scene being a bit crap, was the body snatcher scene where she was walking through sort of from her road to the town, and she saw the neighbors sort of staring up into nothingness, which is
I liked that scene a lot.
The UFO.
Yeah, and I liked they were all that sort lot.
Of they kind of leaned and looked towards her, and you could see the things in their throat. Mm-hmm. I thought that was quite sinister and creepy.
I liked that a lot as well.
They sort of realized that she was there, but didn't seem to pursue, which kind of gave a sense of like, we can get you whenever we want. So we just know you're around. Mm-hmm. And I think probably my least favorite scene was actually the mind probing thing. Cause it just didn't, for me, I just felt like it didn't answer anything as to what the alien's motives were with her or where then the ending sort of left us with. So I just felt like that was like, okay, we got the dream sequence where we finally understood that she fucking decimated her friend's temple with that hefty rock, but more about what they were arguing about. God knows.
Lunch.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Was it something pertinent? Did the friend have something on her, or was she trying to do something bad? Because it didn't give the sense that the protagonist was a victim in any way, just straight up murderer.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I felt that there was going to be some reveal that whilst everyone blamed her for it, she wasn't actually at fault. There was going to be something else at play, whether or not the aliens had abducted her. I feel like that would have actually been a bit of a twist, but...
Mm-hmm. Maud's in charge of the ship.
Yeah.
She's come back.
She could have been the first thing with the little thing in her neck.
That would have been interesting, but, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that maybe sort of triggered her, like she attacked Bryn, and then that's why she lamped her with the rock. But
that would have been way better.
Yeah,
would have been way better.
It just it didn't deliver enough for me, and that kind of left a bit of taste in my mouth, because it felt like we were building up all this mystery about what had happened, or at least there was something in her past, and I didn't feel that connected.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. I think, Toby, I think I sit very much on that same fence with you. I've climbed
Get off
up.
It's my fence.
I've sat on it. Let me. No, we can share the fence. Let us,
not me. Get off. I'm a big lad. I'll take the fence down if anyone else is on there with me.
Because I felt that ending really spoiled the entire atmosphere, the tension, the build. And I disagree with you, Sim. That I think it gay. I think you're wrong, actually.
How dare you? How dare you have your own opinion?
Because I just felt like everything before it, the dancing alien, the guy getting his back ripped in half by the tractor beam.
Oh yeah, that was
that was intense. I was into that, you know. I was like, yeah, this is good, you know. Break that guy's back. Give me YMCA. Yeah. You know, and I felt like even though there were things that I didn't like in the build up, like seeing the alien too much, like I do agree, I think all of us think, you know, it's better when you see little, you know, the reason why, you know, in Jaws, the animatronics weren't working, so they couldn't show the shark all the time. But I think it actually helped Jaws that you don't see it until right at the end. And that's when you see the shark. Yeah. And I think that's something that films do. Now, thanks to that, and probably before that anyway, seeing the creature in its form or seeing things in its entirety takes away from the fear a bit. And I think there's very few films that have been able to transfer that well. I mean, we've talked about Alien. Aliens obviously takes the alien out of the shadows, places it in the forefront, but it's an action film and it works with that change. I think showing the alien the whole time in this kind of takes away from the horror element of it and the fear factor, because they don't look great. And unfortunately, I think because of the lighting, the CGI is far more obvious in this film. But the ending for me kind of detracted from all the build up, because I just was like, what the hell is going on? Like, why would they suddenly just be like, yeah, let's give her own little toy village that she killed one of our guys with, and then she burned the other one in a car, and then that little one, who could have been a baby for all we know, bloody killed it as well. Like, I just was like, why are you suddenly, like, chatting to each other, being like, look, this we should make her a little town.
My question still remains, why are we trying to add our morality onto extraterrestrial beings?
But why are they giving her a town, then? Why are they like this?
I genuinely think it's because she's so messed up. She's such a.
They were like, we don't want to mess her up more.
She's such a little psycho that, like, she'd be like, no, this is too happy. I reject this.
To be honest, I like that. I like that premise. I feel that at least delivers more than what was presented.
Yes. I think you've given it better clarification. The film did not give us that.
No.
See, like, I think your interpretation's good.
That's how I read it. I was like, this woman is so messed up. That, like, no happiness.
The aliens were like, nah, we're not touching that. We're like,
she'll be fine. She'll be fine. She'll love this. She's crazy.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that is what they were saying. They were like, we ain't touching this with a barge pole. We ain't going near this. This is a whole other
mess. She's essentially mute already. She doesn't speak, you know. She's, like, got psychotic tendencies.
She's killed her friend.
She'll be fine.
Killed three of ours. Massive fan of rocks. Loves them rocks. I agree with you, Toby, as well. I was expecting like her to have killed her friend over like an argument or something, but it just looked like her friend pushed her and she was like, yeah, I'll smash you in the head.
They were clearly arguing,
but like if it was like, no, I like the color green. No, I like the color green. And yeah. Then it was like, they did
get wrecked.
Yeah, exactly. They needed that. They needed to give the context of what the...
Oh, could you imagine if the whole film was silent apart from the end where we actually have dialogue?
That might have helped.
Yeah. Everything's silent until that point. We hear, the aliens hear what happened and the aliens are like, damn, we ain't getting involved in this at all. Just put her down there. And then she's got that big smile to the fourth wall. That was weird as well. I found that really strange. I think that was very Twilight Zone-y. Like her going, like smiling at the camera. I was like, yeah, that was a very Twilight Zone-esque.
And this is what I mean, like cutting it down to like an hour to 45 minutes, like an episode of Black Mirror, Twilight Zone, whatever. That I think that would have been a stronger premise than,
yeah.
Because I think they just had too much time to fill, and then just
and that's why it's like my Nutella that spread too thin.
Allegory analogy is the bee's knees.
I mean, it works. When it works, it works, you know?
When it works, it works. When it works, it works. So we're all saying, Sim, you've said broadly fine. Toby, you're saying?
Broadly fine. Broadly fine.
I think it's broadly fine. I think it's broadly fine.
Inoffensive.
I think I gave it like, let me check letterboxed. We always do this every time. I check my letterboxed. This is like a running theme. Yeah. Yeah. This is a thing now. I'm making this a segment. I'm hosting, so I decide what we do. And it's
mutiny.
Well, Ian did checks his letterbox. Did anybody
I didn't even
else,
do a letterbox for it.
Did anybody else think that their language sounded like dubstep?
Yes.
He just really loved music.
Yeah, it reminded me of, was it Men in Black 2? Where Will Smith goes to find Tommy Lee Jones and he's working in the mail office.
And he just slaps him in the face.
No. And then there's like, he does the reveal. It was like, and like the whole mail office is aliens. And there's one who's like,
he's the beatboxing one.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I gave it 2.5. So that is broadly fine. Like it's like a bang on average. So yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. Cool. Anything else to add, gang? Not just about this, you know, how we feeling, other things we've watched.
The creator wasn't very good.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly.
Was it not?
Nah. That's a rant for another day. I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed the creator.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
John David Washington isn't on a good streak.
That's his name. We were trying to figure his name the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, is he a good actor?
He was really good
in Black Klansman.
Yeah, that's
true.
He
is really good in that. Yeah, maybe he's just had really bad scripts.
Maybe, you know. But he's riding off that nepo baby.
He is a bit. Cocktail, he is a little bit. Denzel Washington's son, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Who's a great actor? Who was just in what, Equalizer 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Equalize this.
It's like kind of like the Death Wish of this generation, isn't it? Just him equalizing people. I'm into that. But yeah, no, I kind of, for me, Tenet was kind of the point where I kind of started being like, is he really a good actor? Because it wasn't he with that one with Zendaya as well, wasn't he?
Malcolm and Marie?
And that wasn't very good either.
Let's not even.
So in review, this film's broadly fine, but Denzel Washington's son, not so great. That's what we're saying.
Get yourself a better agent, mate.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we've cracked it. Get a better agent.
Can't observe. We'll be here for any reviews.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, we'll be your agent. We'd be the worst agents. We'd be so
bad. I don't know. I think we'd pick up good on plots if we read a script like, this is pretty dire. Well, let's not do that one.
Yeah, I meant more as the connections. We don't really know people. Well, Simone knows people. Sim, you know people.
I know some people.
Yeah, some people, but we—I think I agree. I think
I know people, but none of them would be helpful for an agent. Cool.
You call a friend of yours. Do you know any films, mate? Stop asking me this. I'm a builder. I've got nothing to do with this.
I could do your scaffolding. Do you want scaffolding?
Anyway, it's been a pleasure with you guys today reviewing No One Will Save You. We will be, throughout the whole month of October, experiencing all the spooky actions of the month, where we will be reviewing comic books, which are horror-related. I think Toby and I, we're going to be reviewing Mike Mignola's Joe Gollum, a cult detective. And we have, at the end of this month, we've got a few other things in between, not all Halloween related. We've got the final roundup of Ahsoka that's coming up this week. Then we are picking up on Loki as well. That's the new intro for Loki, just where Toby and I were very lucky to have gone to the premiere of Loki at BFI. So we'll be talking about that this week as well. So please stay tuned.
Of Simone, by the way. Thank you very much for that. That was most good.
You
using her
welcome.
Connections,
anytime,
her friends in high places.
It really wasn't. It was just...
No. We're going to tell the listeners that it's friends in high places. Big listeners out there giving us tickets.
Fake it to make it.
And we also, at the end of the month, our specials that we do when it is festive. We did one for Halloween, for Christmas, sorry. We're doing one now for Halloween, the best horror / Halloween film, where we'll be fighting to the death for our number one horror film in the Thunderdome. So tune in for that on our channel, Phantom Zone, on Spotify. But today, thank you from me, and it's thank you from them as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where you say thanks. There we go. Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for coming. And thank you, listeners, for listening. I know whenever I host, it's a bit chaotic. So thank you. And I probably won't be doing it again anytime soon. So don't worry about that. But thank you for staying with us. And you can listen to all of our episodes, as we said, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud. And you can also listen to Gay Actually and the
Scream Test.
Thank you. We'll cut that. Scream Test. Who will have, I'm sure, lots of horror-oriented festivities for you in this month. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.